Finding it's a dangerous thing to get blessed wearing a mask when singing, so I just kind of get all, creates all kinds of, interesting things in there. So, it's so good to be here today. It's so good to see so many of you. I just love this. It's like family reunions every week as we see familiar faces and new faces coming into the building. So it's so good to see you. I also have to shout out to at least one person here today, and there's many. All of you kind of squirm when I say that, don't you? But I am just so thrilled. I know he's been back for some time, but John Rousseau, who was mobilized to Poland for really pretty much a year, came back not long ago, but this is his first Sunday back in person. And so we are so grateful for his service to our nation, for the sacrifices that he has made. And I want to welcome him back, and I think Peoria Nazarene should welcome him back. Can I get you to stand, John, for those who don't know you? I know he's probably not a fan. That's John right there. So thank you, John. Yeah. And Heather, I want to thank you so very much for the sacrifices that you've made during this time period. We know it's something when individuals serve our nation like this, it's a sacrifice that the family makes. And we are forever indebted to you, and we are so, so very thankful. Well, today we're going to open God's Word. Again, we're going to continue in this sermon series, Small Faith, Big God. And I'm excited about continuing in this today for a few moments together as we continue to explore that it's not our great ability or our great faith in a reluctant God that moves mountains. No, it's small, small faith in a great big God who is eager to help us, who loves us, that moves mountains. And in this series, we're really asking God to help us to not just have this temporary passion for Him that in a moment rises up in an intense moment, then quickly fades away. Rather, we are asking God to help us with small faith on a daily basis that would endure over time. And we really believe that, yes, God does use, you've probably been there like me, a pivotal moment, a crisis in your life where you've had to set everything aside and really seek God for direction for a moment. And He's answered and He's been there for you. And that's good. I'm not trying to diminish that. But what I'm trying to encourage us to and call us to is a small, weak, steady faith in God that persists a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time, a year at a time. And I'm convinced that if we'll just offer the little faith that we have to God daily, if we'll just come before Him, trusting in Him, our God can move mountains. Nothing's impossible for our God. He is able in whatever area of your life that there's something that seems impossible. I believe that it's not the big faith we need, it's trust in our big God that we need. Take whatever faith you have, even faith as small as a mustard seed. We've been giving out these coins, and I'm going to put it up on the screen here for you. Whether you're online or in person, you can see it here. So this is what we're giving out. It's just a simple reminder. It helps me to have little reminders that will help me follow through on commitments, and I think this is a great thing. So you can kind of see it here. It says, all things are possible with faith, and it has in the middle of it a small mustard seed, and it's a reminder of that little faith that Jesus says is enough if we put it in our big, great, faithful God. And on the back, you can see it's got the verse, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible for you. So we do have a number of those at the back here. If we run out this morning, we can order some more. So just make sure you let me know or contact our office, and we'll order some more for next week. And online as well. If you want one of these sent in your giving statement this week, or you want us to send one to you, just let us know. We're going to be sending those out too, since we know a number of people will be joining us online. The verse that we looked at is Matthew 17:20, and this is kind of the theme verse for this series, where we're looking at this 2021 as a year of opportunity, if we'll place this small faith in our big God. Jesus said this, He said, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible for you. Jesus says this in the context of discipleship failure. And when we fail, we often think, oh man, I need to try harder. I should have given better ability. But here, Jesus is redirecting them that their reason for failure, it wasn't lack of ability or lack of trying. Instead, it was that they were placing their faith in themselves, and it would be far better if they would place weak, small faith in a big God, because God is that faithful. He is that big. So that's where we're praying in this series. That's what we're asking God to do in us individually and together as a church family. I think 2021 is a tremendous year of opportunity for each one of us, individually in our homes and in our own lives, to take next steps forward in faith. I think as a church family, 2021 is an exciting year. God has provided for us. He's been faithful. And I think it's a year of opportunity. Let's just place that small faith in our big God, and he will not let us down. I want to invite you to look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me, verses 1 through 3 this morning. This is a text we're looking at together. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that as we seek to open our hearts and our minds to rightly understand your word, that you would help us in our area of need. One thing we all share in common this morning, no matter who we are, we need you. And without you, we are nothing. So we would ask that you would speak to us through your Spirit, that you would strengthen our hearts together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this. Amen. I want to talk for a moment about the relationship between faith and endurance. The writer of Hebrews here, in communicating this to the early church, he says, "Let us run with endurance the race set before us." But he says this after chapter 11, which is become known by many as the Hall of Faith, these heroes of faith that he reminds us of. And in fact, in Hebrews 11, 1, the beginning of that chapter, he talks about faith. He says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see." And then he goes on to give us these examples of these heroes of the faith, specifically these heroes, these Old Testament heroes of the faith, but not just the Old Testament heroes. He talks about others recently who have suffered that he doesn't name, who became examples for us so that we might endure in our own faith, our trust in God. And you know, it might be easy for us to look at these heroes of the faith and think that, oh yeah, they're these giants, but who am I? What can I do? But if we had time to read the stories, even how the writer of Hebrews gives them to us in chapter 11, he reminds us that they all struggle, that they all face adversity. And when we begin to look at them, they too are like us. They too face moments of wanting to give up, of growing weary. But even when they could not see the fulfillment of God's promise, they trusted. Faith always requires endurance. It's not just believing when we can see, but it's persisting in our faith because our faith rests in the character of God who is faithful, not in our circumstances. One thing that's inevitable is our circumstances are going to change. They just do. Things happen. And while we do have a lot of control over our lives and the decisions we make, there is much beyond our control. And yet our faith rests in a person who's unchanging, God who is utterly and entirely faithful. So these heroes of the faith, like you and me, they struggled. Like you and me, they fell and they sinned. They did not always live up to the expectation of God's ideal. But yet they kept enduring, believing that God would be faithful to his promise. You know, I would hope that we too, maybe even now, would take a moment. Because to the writer of Hebrews, when he was writing to the early church, these saints that he refers to are not people that seem way far away in the distant past. They're people that seem really close around them. I would invite you to think about those in your life. Who are those saints? Where's that cloud of witnesses? Not just the Old Testament saints, the heroes of the past, or for us, the New Testament saints. We think of Peter, Paul, the disciples, and so on. But what about those individuals in your life? Maybe they've already completed the journey of their faith and they are with the Lord right now. Think about their faith. Think about their weaknesses. Think about their ups and their downs, but think about their endurance in their faith. The writer of Hebrews says, let those who've gone ahead, who have ran the race of faith, who believed without seeing, who endured in their faith through hostility, through circumstances that were bad, let those inspire you to endure in your faith, in my faith. When we face difficulty, when we face unforeseen circumstances, trust. Don't give up on your faith. Keep trusting in the one who is entirely faithful. Hope fuels our faith. It enables us to endure. So many times in my walk and my journey with Christ, I find myself going, I'm not yet fully who God created me to be. I see who he wants me to be. I see who I want to be right now. I want to grow. I want to be more in love with Jesus. I want to be more faithful in little things. And I see that person who he's making me to be, and I get disappointed because I'm not yet fully that person. But hope fuels our faith that one day I will be that person by God's grace. And there's this optimism of faith as we know that one day when my life is over and I enter into the presence of the one who created me and the work that Jesus has done in me to save me is complete and I am fully, entirely like the Lord Jesus Christ. I am completely free from every single weight of sin, free from every single desire that runs off course at times. I am completely like the Lord Jesus Christ. No selfishness. I'm finally and fully perfect in him. When that day comes, that inspires me and gives me hope today to keep believing and to keep trusting in him. And there's this optimism that he can do things in my life now to change me. Habits that I've struggled with, areas of weakness. He can help now as I keep trusting in him one day at a time. Hope fuels our faith. But I want to ask a couple of questions that I think we need to ask ourselves from this passage today. And more importantly, I think that perhaps the Holy Spirit would like to ask you and me as we begin 2021. I know we're still beginning it. First is this, what is slowing you down? What has potential to slow you down in your faith? Here, the writer of Hebrews talks about this. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. So there are things that slow us down from walking and growing and running this race with endurance in our faith. Here, what he's mentioning to, that he's not mentioning to things that are necessarily evil or sinful. In fact, here, the imagery being used points us to things that are good. So, for example, in a race during this time period, those who would compete would strip off their outer garments. Now, outer garments are a good thing, you know, for those who would compete in the sports during this day. But when you're trying to run a race, they would get in the way. They would hinder your ability to excel and win at a race. Here he says that when a runner runs, they take and they set aside anything, good things, clothing, set it aside here in this context of running a race so that they could run that race with endurance. So here, I think the question for us is, are there good things in our life? Good things. that maybe when elevated too high, or who become too great of a priority in our life, have the potential to slow us down in our walk with God. I could think of a lot of things that maybe could be a part of that in your life and my life. I think the safest way we can make sure that we don't allow good things to slow us down is to really, in our lives, live in such a way that we live out of surrender to God, that we don't view any part of our life as truly belonging to us, but rather we surrender all of ourselves to God. We ask Him that He would enable us to then, as He entrust our abilities, our talents, our passions, our hobbies, whatever He's gifted us with, that He would help us to use those in a way that would be to His glory. There's a lot of things that they can impact us. Enjoyment. There's many wonderful things that we do for enjoyment and entertainment. And the Christian faith isn't about trying to make you miserable. Maybe there was a time in the history of the church where that's what it seemed like. In fact, all good things are from God. He has given us and He's created this world that we may enjoy Him supremely and enjoy His creation. So there's nothing wrong with seeking godly entertainment and enjoyment. The key is we have to make sure that things God's created for our enjoyment don't replace His rightful place at the center of our heart. So when I view all those good things as a gift from God, I'm able to handle them properly and not have them become ultimate things. There's a lot of things to be angry about in the world today. There's a lot of anger all the time, and we're in a time period where maybe we're all, if we're just honest, we're all a little susceptible to being grumpy. It's like, oh, you know, it's snowing, it's cold outside, and news is terrible in 2021, and got to work at home, and the kids are a constant pain. I mean, there's whatever it may be, there's reasons to complain and be angry. And so I think it's important, and I just want to make this comment. It's hard for us to grow, and it's impossible. Maybe that's too strong of a word, but I think it's impossible for us to evangelize. If you don't know what that word means, it means to share the gospel and to help somebody else who doesn't know Jesus enter into a relationship with Him, trusting in Him by the good news of Christ. I think it's impossible for us to evangelize if we're angry. I really do. I know that in my own heart. So if I'm grumpy all the time and just angry at life, I'm angry. I had somebody I love very deeply used to always tell me, growing old stinks, I'll put it that way. it's just always terrible. Getting old is terrible, you know. And we could be angry, we could be frustrated, but we won't lead somebody into a saving relationship with Christ if we're angry all the time. And so maybe identifying, what's the source of that anger? Am I putting too much negative things that are going on in the world through the news into me? Am I getting overly involved in things maybe that are robbing me of my joy, that are pulling me away from running this race of faith? So I'm not here to preach at you. More importantly, what I would like is for you to do what I want to do right now, is I want to ask myself, God, is there anything, what are the good things in my life that could be slowing me down in my growth? And the thing is, it's not just that I don't want my growth to slow down in Him. This is the thing that worries me the most. I don't want it to be a hindrance to you using me, God, to help somebody who is lost and who needs hope, because I'm too preoccupied with good things. So help me, Lord. And that's a question that you have to ask the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have His Word. We search God's Word. What are those things? But what about my talents? What about my passions? How am I spending my time? And I've got a couple things already this week that in my life that came to my mind. Like, yeah, I'm spending too much time there. Way too much time. Are there adjustments? You see, small faith is when we recognize the voice of God speaking to us, that we surrender to Him and we say, Lord, that area of my life, it's Yours. It's going to be hard for me to break that habit, Lord. But if You're calling me, I'm going to ask You every day, little by little, give me the grace to overcome this. Day two, you struggle. Maybe you say, I'm not going to watch the news as much, and you get on the news again. Not that watching the news is a bad thing, it's a good thing. But maybe you get into stuff and you find yourself constantly discouraged, and you keep saying that, but you keep going back to it. Don't give up. Small faith is, Lord, help me today to take a small step. Keep praying day by day. God will not fail you. I think the reason we don't have change in our habits, and I'm speaking from my, at least myself here, so I could be wrong, not necessarily, not the voice of God on this, but so many times it's because we failed to exercise that little faith day by day. Things, you know, we trip up and we quit. But if we keep praying, even when we trip up, we can run that race with faith. Second question is this. What is tripping you up? So what is slowing you down? What is tripping you up? Here the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Then he says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So here he's writing to the church. He's writing to the church here. Christians, the sin that can trip us up. You know, James says this. He says, confess your faults one to another. John says that if we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we sin, we confess our sins to God. So I think that the most important thing in part of answering this question is asking, you know, God, would you show me where, what is the area that I am prone to sin in my life? What part of my heart and my desires takes me away from you in a way to live that actually harms me and harms relationships in my life? I say this often. The reason sin is bad and the reason God hates sin is because sin is destructive to you and me. And He loves us. And sin destroys everything God created good. And it causes brokenness, hurt. It rips apart relationships. And here He says, hey, there's this race of faith and trusting. It's faith and endurance, but we have to set aside the sin that so easily entangles us. I think the greatest sin that we can really, or maybe the root of these things, has to do with neglecting our relationship with God. I found in my own life that so many times, sin isn't an issue when I'm close with God. It's not that when I'm walking with Him, when I'm investing in that relationship with Him, when I'm daily focused on Jesus, some of those besetting sins just, they go away. It may not go away, but God gives the grace. So self-reliance has a way of, even for Christians, the writer of Hebrews talks elsewhere about the danger of drifting away, that we just become so preoccupied with other things that we don't intend to rebel against God, but we find ourselves slowly, slowly drifting away from the source of everything good in our lives, the source of the one who loves us, the source of all true joy, of eternal life. And then we find ourselves way over here, and we're like, why is I? And we're facing the realities of dealing with our own sin, and God calls us back. Whatever that may be, once again, you don't need to hear my voice in that, and Jesus did not come to condemn you. He does convince us and make us aware of our sin, and that's a good thing. His Holy Spirit comes, and he identifies areas in our life that aren't as they should be, not because He wants to shame us or accuse us. That's what the devil does. That's what Jesus says. He comes to do that. He's the accuser, not Christ. Christ comes to give life. He comes to take sin away. And so when you sin, when you stumble, when you fall, don't pretend you didn't. Don't try to work your way out of it. Admit it. Humble yourself. Say, Lord Jesus, you've called me to this race of faith. You know, there's giants of the faith. I can go back, look at Abraham in the previous chapter. Well, Abraham lied on more than one occasion. Didn't trust in God. Tried to work things out his own. You go to David. We could go back to one by one and identify areas of sin in their lives. Yet after sin, they kept trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, or in God, which we know His salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Savior. So what is tripping you up? Take some time to ask God that. Say, Lord, what are the areas that I keep tripping up on? And again, faith the size of a mustard seed. Trusting in God that you can help me with this area. That you died to forgive me for this. That Christ came to remove that sin. And I can trust in Him. And I can keep trusting. Little by little, I can ask Him for help. And He will. always give me the help I need. Finally, I want to share this morning, and I think this is really the crux of this passage, what the writer of Hebrews is saying. What we need most in running this race of faith is we need focus. And here he says, fix your focus on Jesus. If we are going to run this race, and I believe that every year is for a new believer, every day the mercies of God are new. Every year the mercies of God are new. This is a year of opportunity. And so many times we don't experience the transformation that God intends, the hope, the goodness, the new life, because we won't put a mustard seed worth of faith that things could actually change. And I know there's been things in my life, maybe not even sinful things, but habits that I just, oh, it's too hard, so I don't even ask God for help. But ask Him for help. Mustard seed faith. Fix your focus on Jesus. And keep your focus on Jesus. So many things can distract us from that. But listen again to what the writer of Hebrews says. Verse 2, after he says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. The way we keep enduring in our faith, the way we can overcome the sin that trips us up, the way we can set aside those things that are good, that distract us from our relationship with God and our mission to bring hope to other people, the way we do that is not by relying on ourselves. It's by mustard seed faith, little faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you and I want to call you this year, right now, to make space, to talk with God right now. And I want to invite you to welcome the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the center of your attention for this year. And I believe that for those here who are followers of Jesus, that is the center. But I want to invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to show you. Maybe the focus is just, it's either zoomed out a little bit, starting to take your eyes off of that one who is the initiator and the perfecter of your faith. And I want to invite you today, by faith, to once again renew your focus this year, today, on the one who never ever fails us, to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews invites us to think about his suffering. He says, remember Jesus. Remember hostility. Remember all the difficulty. His life was difficult. In fact, when you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a life we would envy. He was misunderstood. He was attacked. He was, even those closest to him abandoned him. Yet he endured that race for your salvation and my salvation to bring restoration to the whole world. He did that for us. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us, look at his suffering. Now I want you to look at his glory. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. So you and I can look at our suffering right now. What is in our life that is not as it should be, that has been touched by sin, even if it's not our fault, but it's something that's affected us. And we can look forward knowing that it's not going to always be that way. When Christ returns, when we enter into his kingdom, we will see all things made new. We can look at our areas of suffering, and then we can look at the future glory that is ours because of Jesus, and then we can look back in our suffering and we can endure because God gives us the grace to do that. He invites us to look at the humiliation of Jesus. Think of that. God, the creator of all things, weak, brought low, God himself. And then we get a look at the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So church, followers of Jesus, remember this. In this life, it's walking that path of service. It's humiliation. Being a Christian is humbling ourselves. It's enduring suffering. It's taking these small steps. Our exaltation is coming one day. Because when Jesus is lifted up, so are we. So let's place our faith in him. We're going to close with a song here this morning. It's a familiar hymn of the faith. One of my favorite hymns of the faith. It's "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And I want to invite you to hear these words. And while we sing about God's faithfulness, remember that we serve a big God who is able, who is with us. He doesn't need us. He can handle our problems. Can we place mustard-sized seed faith in him? If we do, I'm confident his mercies will be new for us today. So let's pray as the worship team comes. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your grace. Father, my heart is overwhelmed today just with joy of knowing. When I look back on my life, I can see these difficult moments and I can see the good and the bad. I see the different seasons of life and I can say that you are faithful. And each one of us here today, the greatest thing we need is to fix our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help us to do that. As we've seen in your word today, we would ask, Lord, and each one of us would say, Jesus, would you show me what's slowing me down? Jesus, I know that you've created me to love you, to walk with you, to trust in you. And you've created me to help other people follow you. You've created me to reach out to those who do not have the hope I have. Jesus, show me what good things in my life, show me what good things in my life are slowing me down. And as you do, I believe, even if it's something that I've tried before to take a step in and I failed, I believe that if I can just place mustard-sized seed faith, one day at a time, you're a big God and you can help me and you can give me the grace that I need. Father, whatever sin, whatever it is that trips us up, Father, we as Christians are not those who look at others and think that we are without our own temptation or falling into temptation. Father, we know that we know where to go if we sin. By your grace, we do not have to willfully sin. We can live above sin, but yet sometimes we don't live up to that ideal. And as Christ followers, we don't hide that. We confess that. And we ask that you give us the grace to overcome. And we believe that not only do you forgive, but you will give us the grace to overcome and to live a victorious life. So give us that grace today. And finally, help us together as a church family, collectively, individually, to keep our focus on you. Father, if there's anger in our hearts today, we know we can't grow if we're so angry. We know we can't help others find you. So I pray that you would help us to always bring our truest emotions to you, including anger, to bring ourselves before you, knowing that when we do, you give us fresh perspective to look at things differently in a grace-informed way. We love you, God. We give you thanks. We praise you. Minister to us as we as a congregation sing this song from the bottom of our hearts. Remind us that your faithfulness is enough. It's in Jesus' name we pray.